from RNIB, the UK's leading sight loss charity. This is RNIB Connect Radio.
I'm Ravi Sagu, and a very warm welcome to Blind Notes on RNIB Connect Radio. In this conversation series, I'll be speaking to different musicians each week, exploring their portfolio of work, their own musical loves, inspirations, and what drives them to perform the music they make. I myself have experience of impaired vision as I suffer from keratoconus, and I'm keen to explore how our guests have overcome their visual disabilities to make their own music and achieve their musical goals. Our guest today is one of world music's most revered sitar players. He's worked across Indian classical, jazz, rock, pop genres, and has recorded and performed with a plethora of contemporary artists, including Annie Lennox, Stevie Wonder, Mike Oldfield, and Massive Attack, to name but a few. As leader of the Inner Vision Orchestra, he has really made his musical mark. Join me for an hour of conversation with the one and only Balaji Srivastav. And before we start speaking to Balaji, we're going to hear a little something from Balaji alongside Reorient. This is Global Reunion. Balaji, a very warm welcome to the show. Many, many thanks for joining us today. And well, as they say in the old country, my family's from India originally, Namaste and Sat Sri Akal. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much indeed. It's my pleasure to be interviewed by you, Raviji. Namaste, Sat Sri Akal, Adavas.
And the reason, obviously, my salutation, I've ventured into Hindi, Punjabi, Urdu, is because originally you're from India. Tell me more about your visual disability and how it affected you as a child.
Yes, I was made in India. And after the 8 months, eye infection happened, which normally happens to all kinds of children, full of mud, full of dust, full of everything. So I got eye infection. So one neighbor came and she said she has treated 8 children and she can treat me too. And she put opium, alum, naphthalene, lots of other things, and put a bandage. After 3 days, my bandage was taken. Something came out of it. My mother, who was 16 years old at the time, she showed that neighbor, she said, it's rubbish, throw it away. Apparently that was one eye. The other eye deteriorated slowly. And that's how I have become a visually impaired person, not impaired, but actually totally blind.
So Balaji, obviously you've lived with this since you were a child, but at what point did music first begin to play a part in your life?
When I was 8 months old, I became blind. So I didn't know anything about even blindness or anything. But when I grew up, I used to imitate all the hawkers in the street. I used to play cups and plates and whatever I could find, pans and pots, and all kinds of things I used to just play because the sound was the only thing which was important for me. Sound was the most important. So I played wherever I could hear the sound, I could imitate, and vice versa. I could just play, and sing. So it was only 1.5 years or something like that. I used to sing. When I came from that village in Rajasthan, I could hear the songs, Bollywood songs, and I could sing those Bollywood songs. So the music kicked in me after that, from that. And then music just kicked in me without realizing that my mother taught me a little bit of harmonium. When I was 6 years old, my uncle told my father that there is a school in Gwalior, central India. And there I was admitted. When my father went to the school, he just went to see how blind people are educated, braille, math, and music, whatever it is. And he didn't want to leave me there, but headmaster was so interested in me because I could play harmonium and sing something. And he thought, this will, this boy is going to be wonderful for us. So he said to my father, please leave him here and we will look after him very well. So don't worry about it. Because if you want to leave after 4 years, when he will be 10 years old, by that time he will be a great musician. So you should leave him here.
Now, is there a piece of Indian music that perhaps we could play that evokes that time when you were at school in Rajasthan that, you know, takes you back to this period of your life?
Okay, Bulbul Blues, I recorded and I composed it. Why I'm saying that? Because that is the instrument I used to play in the beginning. It's called Taisiya Pato or Banjo.
Rightio, and let's hear that now, that we can now transfer ourselves back to that time, hopefully, and live it through your music. Your formative years led you to further education as well. I mean, you know, you're known for your sitar playing skills and how profound you are with that instrument. But what other instruments have you learned? How did you evolve your musicianship?
Did I learn anything apart from sitar? Yes, I have played all these instruments. Basically, I could play any percussion I want to play. That's how I've learned. And apart from sitar, I've learned surbahar, which is a bass instrument. And I'm very proud to say that surbahar I've never seen before coming to London. So when I saw in London, I played the surbahar and everybody was very, very happy. And I played few concerts after that surbahar. So I'm very, very pleased that I could pick up any instrument and I could just play. I can just play guitar, I can play anything. Basically what I do, I play music.
And you talked about, you know, bringing other instruments over and exposing new audiences to new sounds. And the Fab Four, a.k.a. the Beatles, they were actually famed for bringing the sitar over to a new audience, namely the Western audience, and especially here in Britain, fusing sitar into Western music throughout the 60s and the 70s. Now, you've actually had a few encounters with one or two members of the Beatles, haven't you? Tell me more about these escapades.
Two of them. The first one was the George Harrison. That happened when I was working in tourist shops in Agra. Agra being a tourist city, lots of tourists were coming. And somebody came with a guitar and I played sitar with him. That was very interesting. I really loved playing. And he didn't tell me anything about that he was learning sitar and this and that. He just went out and then shopkeeper asked me, do you know who was this person? And I said, no, normal tourist. Yeah, good. Yeah, that was fine. But you don't know. He was George Harrison.
Wow.
I said, who is George Harrison? And he said, the Beatles. And I said, my God, why didn't you tell me Beatles before? I would have bowed down to him, said greetings and all that. And he said, no, he didn't want any of this. He refused us not to tell you anything. So it was George Harrison. And the second encounter happened with when I went to listen to Ravi Shankar here in London. Panditji, he was playing sitar, and after that I wanted to meet him. But nobody would let me go because I was not on the guest list and nobody recognized me. So George Harrison came and he said, if he can't go, nobody else should go.
Wow.
Because I know him. So that time he recognized me. I was very surprised that he recognized me after 10, 15 years. And the second encounter happened to me with Paul McCartney. I was invited to play for a birthday party and I was playing classical music and everybody was just talking. And I thought, this is not good. I should do something. I started playing da 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 da, and somebody came and started singing, and my tabla player got so loud playing, and I said, Yusuf, why is it so loud? He said, you don't know what's happening. Paul McCartney is dancing with us. Really? Who is Paul McCartney? I don't really care. He's a very rich man. You don't, you know? I thought, I don't care about rich people anyway. And he said, oh, but Paul McCartney is very famous. He's from the Beatles. And I thought, oh, that's wonderful. Why didn't you tell me? Where is he now? I want to go meet him. And when I went to meet him, Brian, whose birthday was, he said to me, Baluji, the Norwegian Wood was wonderful. Now, in India, when I used to listen to these tunes, I used to just learn them. I didn't know the names of them. And I said, Norwegian Wood, what is he talking about? Which wood is he talking about? I was so embarrassed of my ignorance. And then he said, the song you played. And then I realized, oh, this is a song he was talking about, not Norwegian Wood. So later on, I realized, I learned that this is called Norwegian Wood.
Well, let's take a spin back to that era of the Beatles infusing Indian classical music into pop music. The melodies, the harmonies, there's only one track to play. This is the Beatles and Norwegian Wood.
Thank you.
You're listening to Blind Notes with Ravi Sagu on RNIB Connect Radio. There's lots more content at the RNIB Connect website. Simply head along to rnibconnect.org.uk. You can also contact us as well. The email address to do so is radio@rnib.org.uk. And of course, give us a follow on Twitter as well, the handle @RNIBRadio. I'm Ravi Sagu. This is Blind Notes, and I'm in conversation with the one and only Baluji. Baluji, obviously we've spoke about your ancestral roots. You're from India originally. What was the journey that brought you over to Europe?
When I was working in music shop as a musical demonstrator, I had quite a lot of benefit of that because I could touch any instrument I liked and I could play any instrument I liked. And I met a few foreigners, I would call. And there was one Frenchman got interested to learn sitar. And he used to come and live in my house for 3-4 months because of the visa problems. He had to go back to France. After 4 years, he decided that he wants to invite me to France so that he could learn sitar. But then after living 4 months or 5 months there in Nice and getting so bored because he fell in love. So obviously, girl comes first, not the sitar.
I've been in that similar situation before many times. So from Nice, you know, there's another French escapade coming here. And Paris holds a particular, you know, place in your heart for a special reason. Can you tell me why?
So Paris, because I didn't know the language. I have no way to communicate to people. In the village, I couldn't do anything. I wanted him to take me to the city so I could do some concerts. And I did some concerts in Nice, I must say. And he did his best. He was a very good friend. He showed me quite a lot of things, his family and everything. And then finally, I decided to go to Paris so that I could get the plane to India. When I was trying to get plane, somebody came to me, a couple came to me. And they said, they started crying. And I said, no, Baluji, you are going to India. Who will teach us? So you are the best teacher. We want you to stay here. And they were being an artist, being emotional person, I think. I stayed. I returned. I said, okay, I'm not going to India. So anyway, I stayed in Paris. And luckily, Linda came. In 82, I think, in the beginning, end of 81. So Linda came to learn Indian music. And she sang, and I played sitar, and she was very much impressed that I could play anything, whatever she sang, and I could just do it. And that was not new job for me. That was quite old job. I could imitate anything, so I did it. And she was very much impressed. And since then, we are love in Paris. And you can imagine what can happen. 37 years we are together here. Wonderful. We have got two children, lovely two children. And hopefully it will continue till the end.
And you met in the City of Love. You met in Paris. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. So from Paris to London, how did you find being accepted as a blind musician arriving to a whole new music scene in the Big Smoke in a city like London?
Well, coming to London and accepted by like a musician, that actually is not a surprise for me, because I was also, when I was in Paris, I played with lots of record companies and lots of people. And here I must say one thing, that I had two ends of blindness. When I say that, I mean that when I was in India, I didn't feel any difference, because I was working in a sighted college, degree college, girls' degree college, and I didn't have any problem. But the problem was because being a blind, girls were not supposed to touch anybody else's hand apart from their husband. So they didn't want to touch my hand, but they were saying, this way, that way, this way, that way. And I said, no, this way, that way doesn't work. You have to tell me right or left or this way, because they didn't know their right, left. So how could they tell me? So that was a problem. These kind of problems happen with the blindness. As far as the job is concerned, blindness didn't affect me. Everybody loved me. Everybody loved my music. And when I came to England, the music was music for me. So people have heard my sitar. People have heard about me. And I'm very, very privileged, very happy that I'm here.
The current times can be especially challenging for people with sight loss.
For dedicated advice, support, or to access our free talking books and reading services, call RNIB's helpline on 0303 123 9999.
The helpline's open 8 till 8 on weekdays and Saturdays from 9 till 1.
Standing with you through every challenge. RNIB. See differently.
You're listening to Blind Notes with Ravi Sagi on RNIB Connect Radio. I'm in conversation with the renowned sitar player Buluji. Buluji, you've collaborated with so many different artists over the years, Annie Lennox, to Boy George, to Stevie Wonder, to Noel Gallagher. I mean, the list is pretty endless. It's pretty big. Tell me, what's been your most fulfilling collaboration?
Quite a few artists. Of course, I wish I had more collaboration with Stevie Wonder. So I had one chance to play for 50,000 people in Hyde Park Corner Festival. And also, I have trouble with Jimmy Tenor as a jazz player, and I recorded in Warsaw. I took about 10, 15 instruments. I really enjoyed it. 1 week. And yeah, that's way I played with Jimmy Tenor.
Buluji, we've got Massive Attack and Teardrop lined up to play next. I'd like you to lead us into this track and your sitar playing on it.
Thank you very much. Yes, I played sitar, and with Massive Attack, what happened, that they sent a taxi and I took my all instruments there, and I arrived there at 1 o'clock and nobody was there. I could hear somewhere some tracks going on. And so I don't know what to do. After half an hour, I asked him, is there anybody there? So someone came, yeah, I'm here. I was supposed to come here and record. Yeah, sit down, record whatever you want to record. And I thought, how can I record it? Is this the track? He said, yes, this is the track. Because he has been playing that track again and again and again, and he didn't tell me anything. So I said, okay, where's the microphone? So here it is, just sit down and record. I started playing one instrument after another instrument when the track changed. Again came, and I played something else, and I played something else. 5 o'clock, one of the Massive Attack person comes, and he says, Baluji, that sounds wonderful. That sounds great. That sounds lovely. And I say, okay. Someone comes, and he says, yeah, it could be a bit mellow music. And I said, well, you should have told me this few hours before. He didn't tell me, no, it sounds great, you know, it's wonderful. But it could be a little bit mellow music. So, and I said, okay, you can make it mellow if you like, whatever you want to do. Oh, let's go to pub. So they invite me to the pub, and then they said, we are going to do the world tour. Would you like to come with us? And I said, of course, I'm very happy to come with you and play. I really didn't know that time Massive Attack was Massive Attack indeed. That would be wonderful. If I had known, I would have requested more, maybe fell down on their feet and said, oh, please take me to the world.
Well, we'll see what we can do retrospectively. We'll see if we can negotiate a few years down the line. It was a massive track, no pun intended, certainly part of my growing up, you know, listening to music. And I'm actually really honoured to be speaking to you today, because years ago, I didn't realise it was yourself that had played the sitar on this track. So this is Teardrop by Massive Attack with sitar from Baluji. You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. This is Blind Notes with myself, Ravi Sagu, in conversation with renowned Indian sitar player Baluji today. And Baluji, tell me about the band Reorient. We've already heard a little something from them on the show today. It was obviously yourself, another multi-instrumentalist, and a very special singer. What's the musical DNA of Reorient?
This is, to me, Linda's gift. When Linda decided to have a group called Jazz Orient, which later on became Reorient. And I'm very privileged that she asked me to play. And then we found Chris Conway. He's a wonderful musician. He plays guitar, he plays keyboard, flute, he plays lots of instruments he plays. I can't really name all these instruments. So we formed this group, and Linda has written songs when she was 5-6 years old. So she is that great singer.
Now, there's a song on Undiscovered Time which your wife Linda penned. It's called Brave Boy. Could this possibly be an ode to yourself?
It's not to myself. No. It was a situation of when there was a war with Iraq and all that situation. And she wrote the song, What Happens to the Soldier? This song, whenever I listen to this song, it makes me cry. Such a lovely song. It's a wonderful song. And Linda is a very good songwriter. And of course, she's a very good, lovely wife too.
So we'll take another trip back to that album of Undiscovered Time. This is Reorient and Brave Boy. That was Reorient and Brave Boy. I'm in conversation with sitar player Baluji. I'm Ravi Sagu. You're listening to Blind Notes on RNIB Connect Radio. Baluji, when you look back over your career, how do you think your visual impairment has affected your relationship with music?
Visual impairment has not affected anything in relation with the music, because visual impairment has nothing to do with music. Actually, I would say music is to be heard and play, and not to be looked at it and play. So this is the main difference in Western classical music and Indian classical music.
What bit of advice would you give to our listenership that do suffer from visual impairment and who are wanting to get into music, perhaps don't have maybe the outward confidence? What kind of, from your experiences, what kind of advice would you give budding musicians with visual impairment? How would you kind of encourage them?
I would say to all musicians, just not even being musician, because you're all born musician. Everybody is born musician for me. If you clap, you're a born musician. If you cry, you're a born musician. Just do whatever you want to do and be confident. And if you're not confident yourself, then you will not be appreciated because you are what you project. And that's how I have gone through everything in my life, that if I project myself that I can do this and you got to listen to me, and people do listen to me. But if you think, oh, I'm not a good musician and I can't do this and I can't do that and this and that, so you will be down and down and down in the dumps. That's not the way to go. I think you should just play. You should just do whatever you want to do. And as long as you are coming to Inner Vision Orchestra, you are a wonderful musician. Come and join me.
So talking of Inner Vision Orchestra, you set that up in 2010, and it's made up of fellow visually impaired musicians. Tell me, what was the motivation in creating that ensemble?
The motivation of establishing the Inner Vision Orchestra, it's like family for me, because you see what happens, that no matter how many sighted people I live or go there, but I don't feel at home with them, because they are, when all Bengalis meet together, they want to talk to them, not to me. All Maharashtrians meet together, they don't talk to me. I have been all kinds of musicians, and when they want to do something, they do it together, not to me. So they don't want to help me unless they think he needs a help. So I'm a helpless person for them. That's not the way. So I feel in family when I'm with blind musicians. So since childhood, I was with blind musicians, and I was playing with an 87 people's orchestra in Gwalior, and I was conducting there. I was doing all sorts of things. And so I was with blind musicians, and I always felt very happy. And here in London, this is very interesting. When I came, you know, tourist city Agra and metropolitan city London. When I went into the taxis, different taxis, I heard different kind of music, Greek, Turkish, Indian, of course, and Japanese, Chinese. Why can't we have this kind of orchestra, which has got all international relations in London? And London is the best city. So when we were going, first time we were going to an exhibition, Linda found somebody walking, a blind person was walking, and she asked him. And it was Ziad who plays oud with us. So that was a very, very pleasant meeting for us. And when I went to his house, he played his music. He also plays violin. And he played keyboard, and he has showed me his compositions. And I said, Ziad, you should come and play with us. And he said, Balu, how can I do this? This oud is so delicate, and it's very difficult for me to take it out. And I said, look, take the oud, go slowly, put one foot forward, and the other foot will follow. Here he is now, everywhere he goes before us, he's there. So that was Ziad, and after that time we met in RNIB meetings and all that. RNIB has played a big part. And we met lots of musicians, and we said to Takashi, for example, he is a very good viola player, and Farishte, Iranian singer. And what we did first time when we started, we said, look, I have nobody to tell you what to do. You tell your story. And that's how we will compose the show. Each one will tell their story, and each one will sing their song or play their song. So whatever you want to do, you do. And that's how we compose our first show. And after that, we have done lots of shows, and we have been privileged to perform in Queen Elizabeth Hall and British Theatre in Delhi and Royal Opera House in Mumbai. We did the big tour. And hopefully we will continue that way. So Inner Vision Orchestra is one big family for me.
And Baluji, 2017, a very memorable year for you. You met Prince Charles when you received an OBE for services to music. Describe that feeling when you first found out that this honour was to be bestowed upon you.
That's wonderful, yeah. OBE, I got it. I'm sure it's not because of me. It's because people have appreciated my music, and I'm very privileged that they gave me this OBE because of my Inner Vision Orchestra and, of course, my music contribution. I'm very thankful to British Government to give me this honour. When I met Prince Charles, he asked me about the Inner Vision Orchestra. And I said, yeah, you invite us and we will be happy to play whenever you want. And he spoke to me about maybe 5 to 7 minutes or something, that's a quite long time.
Baluji, it's been an honour and privilege to have you with us today, sharing your stories about your life, your career in music. It's been honestly such a fascinating journey. And from myself, from RNIB Connect Radio, from producer Nick, we really do thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much indeed.
You've been listening to Blind Notes with me, Ravi Sagu, which is a Demos production supported by the Audio Content Fund for RNIB Connect Radio.